What up, Hyperchange? Episode 2 of G2 a Milli, where I try and compound $1,000 into $1,000,000 with this little portfolio we got going. So I had my first reoccurring deposit of $250 new cash hit my account. So earlier today, I invested it. Here, I'll roll that footage now so you can see how that went. Yo. Okay. 12:52 here on Tuesday. Market's about to close. Okay, so here's the account. 12:35 down a little. We got a big down day in the S&P 500 right now. I have $312 in cash. I kind of want to split it. Both Tesla and Coinbase are down right now. I'm down about 1% to 2% on each. So should I buy 160 worth of Tesla? I guess I have 155. Fractional share. So you can buy any amount. This is a super cool feature. Submit that. Done. Portfolio. Here. Now, let's see. We got 152.30. Let's just buy it all. 152. Bam, got another share of Coinbase. Let's go. Okay. So just like that, I've added a little bit more Coinbase, a little bit more Tesla. I'll wait till the end of the day to see the percentages. But there you go. And I'm going to do a new thing where I would be buying the S&P 500. So 47, 48, 40. I'm going to write that down. That's what I would have invested, 250 in the S&P 500 if I just bought there. Okay. Signing back to other galley. Okay. We are back. So since that, after hours, we have seen my account has gone down even more. $1,231, $32 after hours, apparently went down even more. I am down 1% or $6 on my Tesla position of $600. I am down 2% or $12 on my Coinbase position of $600. But long term here, we're thinking long term. And remember how I said it would be tough to beat the S&P 500? Well, let's take a look at that. My portfolio now, I've deposited $1,250. I'm at $1,232 after 5 days. So I've lost $18. If you had invested in the S&P 500, and I came up with a new method to calculate this here that I think is a little more accurate and easy for me. But basically every time I buy stocks in my account, I just pretend like I would have bought the S&P 500 instead in this theoretical portfolio to compare myself and show how amazing the S&P 500 is and how hard it is to beat. Almost no one beats it. And you would be to 1263. So you'd be up $13 if you bought the S&P 500, on your 1250 total. So anyway, I'm down to 1232, S&P's up to 1263. So scorecard's pretty clear, but I'm going to come back. Don't worry about it. But if I don't, anyway. In this episode, pretty simple moves here, and I'm going to get into more of my portfolio theory. But first, I want to answer your questions. A few of you sent in questions. Some of them were audio, which is what I wanted. And now I'm going to answer those. And I'm really fired up to do so because this is going to be probably my favorite part of the show is playing your calls and listening to them and like scheming on the advice. I know I have a lot of advice about diversification and just ideas about that that we're about to talk about. Thanks for one of the questions. So let's go to the first question here.
Hi, what's up? I love your channel. My name is Max. And I was just wondering, when do you think or do you think that the legacy auto manufacturers are going to go out of business in the next 5 to 10 years? I was just wondering your opinion on that. I wanted to know. Thank you. I love the show. Peace.
Okay, this is an interesting question. Max, huge shout out to you. Thank you for coming through with the question. I don't know. Let's take a peek at the actual data here to see what it looks like on the financials of those companies. I will say from a product perspective, I mean, I was just thinking about this, like there still is not a compelling electric vehicle on the market that's not a Tesla. I mean, the Rivians are great, but that's like $100,000. Just a mass market, great electric car. And I think in general, the incentive structure for old companies, and this is just in general, the Innovator's Dilemma, there's a whole book about it. I don't think you need to read the book though, but it's more just like, if you're crushing it with your certain business, you're not incentivized to disrupt your own business with something cheaper, better, or new technology that requires a huge investment. And so that's why we see often these huge dinosaurs get disrupted by startups, not innovate themselves. And I think Ford, GM, they're all in that category of thinking, you know, electric cars are a joke or a toy for rich people until Tesla makes them catch on and then they're investing and scrambling and it's too late. That being said, this was a great year for the automotive business. Like if I'm just taking a quick peek at the financials here, this is Ford's income statement. You can see that they've been profitable. I think their profits actually maybe even have been going up, stable at about 9 or 10 billion in profit. So that's not bad. I don't know. And, you know, their balance sheets are a little bit dicey, but they are actually profitable and had a good year. So even though they're not crushing it, I would say in the electric vehicle movement, like also GM had an awesome year here, as we can tell. Strong growth in earnings and revenue for GM, another 10 billion in profit there. So, you know, and it's interesting because 50 billion market cap for 10 or 11 billion in profit is pretty low. So the market's telling you they don't really believe or, you know, assign these as high quality earnings, let's say. Bankrupt is a tough choice. I mean, Ford and GM actually got bailed out and are probably likely to get bailed out by the government. So if they get bailed out, that could be one option. But I think in general, for my purposes, it's like, it's hard to predict when they're going to go bankrupt or out of business. In my head, they're already underwater, or like dead people living. You know what I mean? Like if I hear a startup and they're like, oh, well, GM's going to invest, GM might be one of our customers, I'm like, oh, that's a huge red flag. Like GM's not going to be around. So I'm not like, when you think about companies that are going to be around in the future, are they developing products and services that you see getting more relevant in the future? I mean, Ford is the Ford Lightning. That's awesome. But GM, struggling with their electric vehicles, had to shut down Cruise. I mean, none of the products that these, and I'm just using Ford and GM as examples, but you could say the same for like Stellantis. None of these companies are impressing me. I think Tesla, and then I think maybe Rivian, a very distant second of two companies, but I would not want to be competing with Tesla. So to answer your question, Max, do I think they're going to go bankrupt in the next 5 to 10 years? I'd say 30% chance, because I think they're going to cling on and like hang around for a while, but I think they're going to get smaller and more relevant as we go. But like predicting exactly when they go bankrupt, I don't know. But to me, as far as I'm concerned, hyperchange, think about the future, they're already bankrupt because they're not innovating, and who cares about them? They're just clinging on, selling crappy gas-guzzling products. Like, are we excited about that? No.
Hey, Gally, it's Ben from Missouri. I've been watching now for over 3 years, and I got to say thank you so much for putting me on a Coinbase. I'm up 250% of my position, so thank you kindly. My question is, as someone who's invested in a crypto company, I've been watching closely the fall of companies like FTX and Binance. What are your thoughts on watching the breakdown of these companies? Why do you believe Coinbase is immune? And do you think the SEC case could lead to a fall of Coinbase? Thank you for listening to my voicemail. Have an excellent day.
Okay, Ben from Missouri, great question here. And I think, you know, FTX and Binance and a lot of these companies have given a bad name to crypto, unfortunately. And crypto is really like the Wild West. So you got to do your homework on who you're storing your crypto with. If you're doing anything in the crypto world, you really got to know, you know, who the counterparty is and be in charge of your wallet and, you know, just like do a lot of due diligence essentially on all parties involved. FTX and Binance, not based in the US, so they can get around the regulatory scrutiny. That's already a huge red flag. I would say any company that's based in the Bahamas like FTX, don't trust your money with them in general. I think the fact that people did that is ridiculous. Coinbase has always tried to follow the rules, and now they're getting investigated by the SEC. They're fighting them in court. I think they're doing all the right moves, and the SEC is frankly super unfair to them. In a worst case scenario where American innovation is stifled by governments and like we shut down Coinbase, like, I don't know. They're basically, I'm beefing with the SEC here because they're kind of screwing over Coinbase, not giving them clear guidelines and saying they broke the guidelines. Then Coinbase is like, well, what are they? And then the SEC is like, whoa. And so I think they're just targeting crypto companies and they're trying to shut them down. And Coinbase has unfortunately received like the hit for that. And I think a lot of that's priced into the stock. But I just feel like Brian Armstrong does the right thing. So even in the worst case where the US is like, no, Coinbase is illegal, blah, 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 Coinbase is, my guess is going to be like, look, we tried, we gave it our best shot. We're still going to follow the rules. We're still going to be the most trusted crypto bank. We're just going to like Dubai or Singapore or London, and we're just going to move to a country where the rules like us. So I don't know. That's my two cents. I think in general, crypto is very risky overall. But I think Coinbase has been playing the game the right way. And like FTX and Binance, I'm not as confident that they're not like, you know, I buy Bitcoin and they're holding it for me, but they're not really holding it. They're kind of like doing all this other stuff and saying they promise they have my Bitcoin, kind of like a fractional reserve system, like a traditional bank. And I just don't like that model at all. And I think Coinbase is actually holding on to my crypto for me. They're audited. They've been around for like 12 or 15 years. Brian Armstrong is super public and transparent with all the moves he makes. I mean, it just boils down to trust and homework at the end of the day. But if the SEC tries to shut down all crypto, it's going to be bad news for Coinbase. But that's kind of the risk I'm taking, is like this regulatory uncertainty and overhang is making Coinbase, which is an amazing business, look a lot cheaper. So when that gets solved, that's a bullish catalyst. And I don't know. I have faith that they're not gonna, that they'll move if things get really bad in the US. Thanks for that question though, and congrats on being up on Coinbase stock. Okay.
Hi Gally. I'd like to bring my kids to a milli so they can go later to university and everything is paid for. I love your idea and the show. However, quick question about research of stocks and good opportunities. I'm looking at Toast Inc. at the moment, and from the information I get using the brokerage account I have, they look great on paper, so to speak. Lots of potential in my eyes. But how do I research them properly? So if you could give me some insight using them as an example, it would be fantastic. All the best, Alex.
Okay, love this question. Basically, how do you research a stock you like? And so we're going to start by going, I pulled them up on Main Street Data, Toast Financials. I would say if they're on Main Street Data, where you can essentially visualize the financials, is a great place to start to do fundamental research. I mean, Toast is like the restaurant software. And I've heard of them. I mean, I think it's an awesome space to kind of like, before I guess we dive into the financials, like digitizing the back end of the restaurant operations. Massive space, very competitive. I've seen a company like Clover, Square, Toast. Do they have an advantage there? I don't know. I don't know it well enough. If I would only want to invest in Toast, if I was like owning a restaurant or worked in that industry or knew somebody who did and really understood the product, I think that's such a big part of it, is do you understand the product? Is it better than the competition? Do you see Toast expanding as a software platform in the future? You know, that's one side of the product. Now we can look at the business beyond the product. And this is just first glance at the financials. What am I noticing? This blue line here, revenue, rapid revenue growth. That's awesome. Rapid gross profit growth. That's awesome too. So everything's going in the right direction, but all this growth in gross profit and revenue is not translating to the bottom line. So I think that's a very interesting thing, is like, well, you're still losing $59 million on your $1 billion revenue. So the margins are okay, or not that bad, but like we're still losing money. So I think that's a super interesting kind of side of the whole equation here. We can dive into more of the financials. But essentially operating expenses here rising just as fast as gross profit. So that's why they're not profitable. Cash flow looking better though. In the past two quarters, they've had positive cash flow. I don't know what that's about. I need to dive into that. That's good. They have cash, but they're kind of burning through it, but it's sort of flatlined recently. So that's a good sign. They got about $1 billion in cash, $10 billion market cap. That's the valuation. So that's important too. Then you got your share count here. So this is like dilution, the piece of the pie. They're not really diluting too much. I don't know. I'm just running through this quick, looking at the financials. I've never even looked at Toast until your call. So let's see what happened with the price. Since IPO around 60 or 70. I mean, I like the idea of it IPOs and it's way too hype. The business executes and now you can buy in at a good valuation. I do like that. But my thing about Toast is it that special of a company? You know, if we annualize the financials here, growth is amazing. $2 billion to $3.6 billion in revenue growth. But the profits here are actually, you know, staying flat around $400 million to $330 million. So they're just not making any money. The negative 5 to 10% margins, I'm not excited about this being a good business because they're not profitable yet. So I'd want to see an improvement in profitability if I was going to buy in. But that being said, if you're growing from, you know, $1.4 billion in revenue, $2.5 billion, $3.6 billion, and you're only worth $10 billion, that kind of growth for, you know, 2.5-3 times sales, 40-50% growth for 2.5-3 times sales is really cheap if they can turn it around. So I think if Toast shows improvement in profitability, this could be a really amazing company. So that's how I would start by analyzing the financials. The other big piece of the stock is leadership. Like this is so underrated, is like, who is running the company? You're investing in that. A company is just a group of people. This is one of my favorite quotes, is leadership is the most important asset. The most important asset or liability a company has isn't on the balance sheet. It's in the boardroom. It's who's the CEO and leading that company. Is the CEO obsessed with Toast? Did he create the company? Is he taking it all the way to dominate the restaurant industry and change it in a way that, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder? Or is he just some sort of business guy that the VCs put in who's just checking boxes, making his 500 grand a year salary, not really dominating, not innovating on the product? So I don't know. In short, I don't know much about Toast, and it's not financial advice to buy or sell, but what do I do if I hear a new company I like or find it's interesting? A, be the customer. I need to understand from the customer's perspective, do I love this product? Do I see this product expanding? Is it something that I could see being more or less relevant in 10 years? That's a really good hack too. Like, zoom forward 10 years and think, does this company still exist? Is this product or service bigger or smaller? You know, Tesla, it's like, well, every car is, even more stuff's going to be electric. They're still going to be crushing it. Self-driving, you know. So that's good exercise. Leadership's got to be on point. Valuation, I actually think the valuation here could be very reasonable of, like, if they turn it around, I think there could be a lot of upside. But anyway, that's my quick answer on Toast. If you have any more questions or anything, let me know. But I hope that was helpful for people, anyone trying to look at any new company.
What's up, Gally? Calling for G2 and Millie. Just to give you a quick portfolio rundown of mine, I've got a £65,000 portfolio. $30,000 is allocated to Tesla, $10,000 to Google, $4,000 to Amazon, $3,500 to the S&P 500, $2,000 to Meta, $2,000 to BAT, which is British American Tobacco, and I've got $12,000 in cash. I've also got $10,000 in cash in a Help to Buy ISA. I started investing in 2019. I'm currently 26 years old. My total invested is $44,000. I earn about $50,000 a year as a carpenter. I'm just calling in to see what you would do in my position and how can I benefit from my portfolio, because I'm very frugal and I rarely treat myself to anything nice. Keep up the good work.
Yo, Tyler, first of all, love the accent. And I mean, I think you're crushing it. You're 26, you got the snowball going, you're frugal. One of my mentors always told me, save till it hurts. It sounds like you got a nice little diversified portfolio. You got some cash going on. I mean, I don't really have any advice or anything to say to you other than just, like, you're on the exact right path and just keep the discipline going there and your snowball will compound over time. It sounds like it's already doing well. That's awesome. So I just think, you know, you're crushing it, and this is kind of a model that everybody should be following. And I feel like, couldn't be doing much better than that. I mean, I don't know, maybe it sounds dumb, but if there's, like, a side hustle you could do so you can either add a little more to your portfolio or keep adding to your portfolio, but then have a little more money to spend, because it sounds like you're not balling as hard as you want to be. But I mean, that's just life. I don't know. I'm fired up because I think you're crushing it and you got all the right moves going on. Just stay on top of buying good stocks that you believe in, adding money when you can. And I think you're going to do great. You know, you got time on your side. And so if you keep this up for another 10, 20, 30 years, you'll probably be at a milli too. You're probably going to beat me there. So let's go. There's one more thing too. I don't know if it helps, but just, like, force yourself to save, you know, like, add a couple hundred pounds every month or every couple weeks, like I'm doing, to your portfolio. If that helps you save more, that could be one idea. But I'm sorry, I wish I could be a little more helpful, but it sounds like you're killing it. So.
Hey, Gally, my name is William and I'm 23 and I have 300 shares of Tesla. And so my snowball is going pretty good already. But I was wondering if you think it's worth it to diversify, because I'm one of those all in on Tesla people and I like Coinbase as a possible investment like you did in your first video. I don't want to do Rivian, but I was wondering if you think it's worth it to start exposing myself to other stocks after being all in on Tesla for so long. And my other question was, do you ever plan on doing covered calls in this account when you eventually have 100 shares of something?
Okay. Covered calls is options. I'm going to go with no on that for now. I don't want to get too into that. If I'm going to do options, I like buying long dated calls and just being risky with that. But so that's an interesting angle. But okay, you got the best question. I wanted to end on this is the best one. So I'm trying to end on this or not the best question, but it's just you got me scheming here of diversification or not, because that's something I'm thinking about with my portfolio is do I diversify? You know, obviously I own Tesla and Coinbase. I think no. I mean, it's not financial advice. You should do what you want. But for me, it's a nah, because I believe that you got to concentrate to build wealth. Concentration builds wealth. Diversification preserves wealth. I think people get way too cocky and are like, oh, I'm going to build a diversified portfolio, blah, 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 blah. It's like, bro, I still don't feel like I understand Tesla and Coinbase well enough to invest in them. And I'm in this. What am I going to do? Study a third company and understand them? Like, it's so hard to understand a company well enough to invest in them that I think the idea that you should have 10 companies and you're going to understand them well is already ridiculous. People would already say that's concentrated, but I already think it's hard to keep track of 10. You know, I'm keeping track of 2, 3, 4 companies, follow them super closely. It's hard. These are huge companies, tens of thousands of people, all this crazy technology you got to learn. So I think, you know, do you want to add, you know so much about Tesla or any company, and don't just diversify because you want to like diversify for diversification's sake. You know, you're diluting your capital, which is going towards a company that you understand well, that you love, and you don't want to, you know, put more capital in something that's worse. It has to be better than Tesla for you to buy that instead of Tesla, right? So I think you got to just have a super high bar, be super picky. I think one move that I say for my mom, if she's trying to get a little bit like, you want to diversify, but you still want to have your picks. What I told my mom was like, let's put like 80% of your money in the S&P 500, then that 20% concentrate on your favorite picks. So, you know, if I was going to diversify, I wanted to be lazy and not pick stocks or not, you know, do something safe, then I'd just buy the S&P 500. If I didn't want to keep buying Tesla, but I personally, for my portfolio, I mean, when I was in my 20s, all I did was just only buy Tesla stock, and that hugely paid off. And if anything, I regret dabbling in some startup investments that I made because I didn't know the companies well enough. I would have done way better just buying Tesla stock. So I learned my lesson there. And I just think if you're trying to, I don't know, I feel like that's kind of risky advice to not diversify, but it's not advice, sorry, but it's just, that's what I do. I don't diversify. I like to only buy the companies I really understand. I only really understand a few. I only want to have the creme de la creme best companies in the world in my portfolio. I'm not settling for shittier companies. I believe I understand the companies I'm investing in. I think I have an edge on Tesla and Coinbase. Maybe I'm cocky there, but that's where I feel like I have an edge. So that's where I'm going to play. And I feel like you got to know what you know. You got to know what you don't know. You got to know where you can play. And that's a huge part of investing. And I think the second you start dabbling with other stocks and shit you don't know, you're going to get screwed. So actually, this is bringing me up to another point, because I tweeted about this and was like getting hyped about the episode. And I actually tweeted like, what other stock should I add to the portfolio? Which is awesome. And I got so many different answers. And it just like made me hyped. I love the community we got going on here. But so I asked like, what are other good stocks we need out of the portfolio? This pitch was like the number one pitch, and it got 11,000 views, 71 likes, 11 retweets on this pitch for this company called EOSE. And here it is. So this is fascinating because I have never seen such a community of people who is so hyped on this stock. I am like, what the heck is going on here? Why does everyone love this stock? I don't get it, but it has a huge online community of people following it. Apparently they have some sort of, you know, renewable energy mega pack technology, but I am going to tell you in 2 seconds why I would not touch this stock. And I tweeted it. It's no offense. The people who are, maybe you're smarter than me and you're going to figure this out. And if you're investing, but I'm just giving you the show to tell you my point here. So I'm going to move me up here because look at this. I pulled up the income statement. I was like, all right, everyone's commenting on this stock. I'm going to go check it out. This is why I personally would not touch this stock at all. You can look at the shares of common stock. So if you're losing money and your stock's going down, how many shares do you have outstanding? Your value of the company is you own one share. The value of the company is price per share times amount of shares. If they increase the amount of shares, that's called dilution. You're getting basically screwed and the pie is expanding. Your piece is staying the same. You're owning less and less and less of that same company. So that's the worst case scenario. You want companies that treat their shares like gold. Yes, you will have to sell stock to raise money. But I've never seen a company dilute more than 100% or double their share count year over year and not be kind of a BS scam. Frankly, that's just I'm just calling it like I see it. Right here, we can see the diluted share count is going up every single quarter. In the 3 months ending September, you can see right here, 63 million shares up to 156 million. I always use fully diluted. So we have got, and if we just crunch the numbers on that, 156 divided by 63. So we've gotten 148% increase in the share count. So more than doubled. So I need to see revenue go up more than that. You know what I mean? I need to see some sort of growth that's justifying why. And then you look at the business here. They had revenue is down massively from 6 million in Q3 22 to 0.6 million. Their losses have only decreased because their gross profit, they lose money on every dollar in revenue. So on just every level, the financials suck here. 21 million of costs to produce 6 million in revenue. And you have all these expenses. I don't know. So, and then they have this thing on their balance sheet or some sort of gain and change in fair value that bumps up the results for a little bit. But the point being here is if, you know, even if the share price stayed flat, it's like a dollar stock. You know, it was a $63 million company a year ago, but now they've diluted. And so now it's, you know, $180 million or you know, $150 million company, even if the share price is flat. And so to justify that valuation, you need to see insane. So if I was going to buy a business that's worth $150 million, you got to be doing a couple million in earnings. You got to have some growth. You got to have something going on. I mean, $150 million business for something that's doing, you know, $10 million in revenue in the first three quarters of this year, losing $110 million. All I'm seeing here is they're going to need to keep selling you stock. That whatever their product is, isn't their main product. EOS is selling a lot more stock than it is product. Their product is literally to sell shares in their own company. So anyway, I don't want to spend time on this because I think it's kind of like a sketchy vibe. But that was the number one comment on my post. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm trying to see what other stocks people told me to buy. There were some interesting ones. But Lemonade Insurance. Shout out to this guy, Neil, who told me about Lemonade Insurance, because this looked like a really interesting one. And he did this whole thread about it. And he was like, just put this thread in a ChatGPT and ask, have ChatGPT ask it. So I don't know the insurance business. I know Lemonade is like a bougie new startup using AI and tech to disrupt it. I think that does have huge potential. And I think the stock is way down. And if they're a high quality business, this could actually be like a really good one and a really interesting turnaround play. So I am actually considering this. But once again, this goes back to our OG comment of like super duper picky. Like, I want to be super duper picky about every stock I own and truly understand it. And I don't understand Lemonade. I don't understand EOC. So I'm not adding those. But anyway, that wraps up the Q&A session. If you also, the deal's still going on with Public, where if you want to join and create an account, you can use my code. A bunch of you already have, and you got $25 worth of free stock. You only need to deposit $20. So public.com/hyperchange. I'll put the link in bio and you can sign up and roll your snowball with me. This ends this episode where I'm at 12:31. Hopefully we got some better results next episode, because sheesh, this is not looking good. No, I'm joking, but just got to stick with it. So I'm sticking with the plan. Also, please call in your questions. I had a blast doing the call-ins, these little questions here. I answered every single one who followed my result, who's followed my directions, sent me an audio file. There was only like five or six. I just answered all of them. So 100%, I'm still going for that. And there was a couple other people who wrote in questions, but I like the playing them. So send me an audio file, hyperchangetv@gmail.com, record something on your phone, email it to hyperchangetv@gmail.com, and you're going to be on G2 Amili probably, because I'm answering all the questions until I got too many. So, you know, and it's funny because I don't feel like I don't have that much exciting to say this episode. It's like, we got some good lessons learned about diversification, but really it's just, you know, adding a little Tesla, adding a little Coinbase. The stocks were down, so I was pumped to add on the down days, keep consistent, keep with the strategy, buy what you know. That's what we're doing out here. It ain't pretty. It's just the hard work, putting in that work to try and get to a milli. Anyway, I'll see you for the next update on G2 Amili in a couple weeks. And yeah, appreciate y'all tuning in. Let me know what you think in the comments. Peace.